good morning. Really cool that it's such a big turn up today. Welcome to this talk about building mobile cross-platform solutions. I'm Gitte. You maybe saw me at the keynotes yesterday. Now I'm a software consultant at Kronos, and I try to keep up with a lot of .NET technology, so not only mobile, but I try to keep a very broad perspective on everything .NET. But today, it's a talk about mobile cross-platform solutions. I'm going to talk a bit more about the official Tech Days BE app we wrote, and actually a different, a new, and enhanced version of that app you all have on your Windows Phone and Windows 8 devices. Yeah. But before I start my talk, I actually want to do a little survey with all of you. Now, for this, I need you all to just get out your mobile devices. So everybody has mobile devices, yeah? Just get them out, whether it's a Windows Phone device, a Windows 8 device, if it's an Android device, an iPhone device, just get them all out. And I want you all to wave them at me. Yeah? I want to see all your mobile devices. Yeah, just wave them. Okay. I feel like Bono now. Yeah, it's like being at a big concert. Okay, everybody who has a Windows Phone device, can I see only the Windows Phone devices? Yeah? That's almost half the room with Windows Phone devices. Anyone with Windows 8 devices? Can I see the Windows 8 devices? Yeah? That's not that many people. I only see 5, 6 maybe. Anyone who dares stick up their Android device? See, that's a lot of people. A lot of people with Android devices. That's even maybe, I think, 80% of the room. Anyone with iPhones? iPhone devices, iPad devices? Also, I think, well, about 20%. The point I actually want to make is that a lot of people have all kinds of different devices. Yeah? And I'm a .NET developer. And actually, it totally bugs me that as a .NET developer, I can develop for Windows Phone, I can develop for Windows 8, but there's this entire ecosystem out there of Android devices, iPhone devices, and I can't write apps for them. Yeah? It's not as easy for me to write apps for all those other devices, and I want to write apps for them. Also, if cool applications come out, cool apps come out, a lot of the times it's you can find them in the App Store, the iOS Store, you can find them on the Google Play Store, but a lot of the times you can't find them on the Windows Phone Marketplace. And that just really bugs me. Yeah? So what I was actually thinking about was, how can I actually get a better or perfect mobile world? Yeah? And what would that mobile world for me look like? First of all, I as a developer, I would want to be able to develop for all these different devices. Yeah? And if I develop for all of these different devices, I don't want to make any compromises. I don't want to make compromises on the way my UI looks. Yeah? If I develop for a Windows Phone device, I want my application to look like an application specifically for a Windows Phone device. I don't want it to look like an iPhone application. Yeah? Same thing for Android users. They don't want their application to look like it's a Windows Phone application. Yeah? So that's one thing. I want a native look and feel. I want a native UI. Also, if I write applications for different devices, I don't want to give in on performance. Yeah? I want the same native performance for my application it has natively on a device. Yeah? Also, if I develop applications for multiple devices, I need different tools. Yeah? For Windows Phone, Windows 8, I can use Visual Studio. But if I want to develop for iOS right now, what do I need to do? I need to learn Objective-C. I need to use their tools. I need to learn Java if I want to develop for Android. And I need to use Eclipse or IntelliJ. But I don't want to do that. For people who were at the keynote yesterday, I don't know if you remember Tim O'Brien saying, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could do development for all these devices from within our favorite IDE, from within Visual Studio? Now, that would be cool. Yeah? And that's something I want to show you that maybe we can do that. Yeah? Now, what we can do today already is, if you want to share code across devices, if you want to write shared code for all of these devices, normally what we already do is we make some sort of service layer, normally somewhere up in the cloud, yeah, where we have well, business logic, where you have data access, and that all of these devices actually use this service layer to get some kind of shared business logic across all of them. But it, again, it bugs me that for each device, I need to do the same thing over and over again. I need to write the same thing for UI logic. I need to write the same business logic again. I need to write the same service consumption. And if I want to access local data and services, I have to write that over and over again. And wouldn't it just be cool if you could do something like this? Yeah? If you could just write it once and use it across all of those devices. That's actually the magic ring I'm looking for. Yeah? I'm looking for one language to rule them all. Yeah? And wouldn't it just be cool if that language could be C#? Yeah? Now, one solution might be, if you're using HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, you can do that. You can actually use those three languages across all of your layers. You can even use JavaScript on your server side with a framework like Node.js, for instance. That's possible. Yeah, you can do that. There's tools like PhoneGap and Trigger.io who do that. I don't know if there's people who have ever used that, or people who have used PhoneGap. Okay. Are there people who are happy with using PhoneGap? Yeah? Okay. If you're happy with that, cool. If you're happy with writing HTML5 code, with writing JavaScript code, just keep on doing that. It's a great solution. Yeah, it's one way of doing it. Are there people who actually like writing JavaScript code? Yeah, if you like writing JavaScript code, cool. Who write writing lots of JavaScript code? Not that many, actually. Yeah, I remember Bartus Smet saying yesterday that JavaScript is a cool language, but once you start going for the big applications with JavaScript, it gets hard. Yeah? And that's why the combination of HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript might not be the most optimal solution for us. Yeah. So I'm still looking for my magic ring. I'm still looking for my one language to rule them all. And now, wouldn't it just be cool if we could take this ring, maybe twist it a little, and come up with something like this? Yeah, that would be cool, right? Now, question is, can we do this? Yeah. I say yes, we can. Yeah. Now, then how do we do this? What we can do is actually, and that's going to be the topic of this talk, being that we're going to use a combination of, first of all, portable class libraries. Now, portable class libraries, they give you a way of, just getting a class library you can share across different frameworks. It's out there for Silverlight, for Windows Phone, for Windows 8. And that's something we can use for writing, for instance, Android applications as well. Next to that, because portable class libraries, you just heard me mention Android, but we can't develop for Android applications from within Visual Studio, right? Well, we need something else for that, and that's going to be Xamarin. Xamarin is a framework which is built on top of Mono, and it allows you to write applications from within Visual Studio and target Android devices, or write applications from within Visual Studio and target iOS devices. Now, that would be cool. Yeah. Now, Xamarin can be used to target other platforms than the ones we're used to. We still need something else if we want to be able to share as much code as we want to. Yeah. Now, that next thing that you need is going to be the MVVM pattern. And I've used this little framework called MVVM Cross, which is built on top of Xamarin, which gives you the MVVM pattern for targeting multiple devices. Yeah. And that's going to be the topic of this talk. So it's going to be portable class libraries, Xamarin, and MVVM Cross. And I'll tell you how I actually use those to make a rewrite of the TechDays application you all by now have on your Windows Phone devices and Windows 8 devices. Now, the official application, it was written by two Kronos companies, being Pocket Pro and AppStory. Kind of pains me to say this, but the application was actually written twice. If you look at the amount of code we reused between those two applications, it's about maybe 2-3%. And that part is just the thing that's up in the cloud for syncing your agendas. So that's the only part of shared code between the Windows Phone and the Windows 8 application. Now, that's sad. We can do that better, right? And so for this talk, what I was actually looking at was a way to be able to write those applications again and being able to share as much code as possible. And, well, what the heck, why not throw in Android as well and try and write an application for an Android device as well. Yeah. Now, I'll first just show you the actual application that I wrote. So we're going to switch to this screen. There we go. We have this very, very old Android device. Screen locked. There we go. On this device, I actually have another instance. There we go, of the TechDays application. Yeah. You see it's got the Android look and feel. I don't know if it's very clear to see. I'm going to put it a bit. There you go. Is that clear? Yeah. So you actually have the overview of the TechDays application. You have a tab for topics. You have a tab for tweets, something I added. So it's actually an enhanced version of the official application. There's a way of looking at the full program of the TechDays BE event. This is the only page that's a bit slow on Android. I know I talked about native performance, but this just shows that Java has no performance at all. No. but if, for instance, we go to the 7th of March, it's actually the only page that's a bit slow because it's loading a lot of data, and it's actually the drawing of the actual control with the tabs and all of the hours and the sessions ordered by date, that's taking a lot of time. So if I, for instance, I take my my own talk, I add it to my agenda because, of course, I want to see this talk. Yeah? I add it to my agenda. There you go. And one thing I did, you see the title coloring, you see that changing. So that's something, once we get to the MVVM cross part, if you know MVVM, you know you can data bind and you can use value converters. Yeah, same thing I did for Android. So it's data binding and value converters. You will also see that in the overview now, this talk also indicates it's added to my agenda. And if, for instance, I go to the list of speakers, and again I go to myself, there you go. Voila. You will see that again the talk is added to my agenda. Another thing I added was with the practical information. This application uses the Google Maps API, which is the Android way of showing you map data, which is an extra plugin that I used. You also have the list of topics. You can see the developer track. The developer track being that, well, actually, it's the same filtering you have in your own Windows Phone application. Let me see if it wants to load. There we go. So in the developer track as well. And then we have the tweets. Now, you can try and send tweets to this, but I know it's a live session. And it's actually, I loaded this morning's tweets in the application. But that was actually just for me as a test to see if getting the tweets asynchronously, if that would work on Android as well. So, and I can tell you, yeah, it works. Yeah, cool. Now, just to show you, I have the same application as well. I'll minimize this one. I have the same application as well on my Windows Phone. So it's right here. It's the same, more or less the same application you all have on your phone devices, with a little bit of different things for different color schemes or some different controls. But you see it's actually the same application. You can also add stuff to your agenda with a gesture, and it just works on Windows Phone as well. Yeah. I won't bother you showing the Windows 8 version, but I made a Windows 8 version as well, which didn't get finished entirely, but it works on Windows 8 as well if you want to. Yeah. What I didn't do was an iOS version, but that's just because I don't have a Mac PC. So there you go. Okay, So let's just look how this was done. Yeah? First of all, I use portable class libraries for this. It's a very easy concept. What it just does is, if you have different platforms you want to target, for instance, Silverlight, Windows Phone, Windows 8, it's you can't use a regular class library to share code between those. Yeah? What you need to do is use a portable class library for that. Now, once you install the Xamarin tools, by the way, what you can also do is use the same portable class library to target Android and iOS devices. So that's cool. You just use one class library that targets all of these platforms. And it's a subset of the .NET framework that you get in your portable class library. Now, what I actually did, I used the MVVM pattern. So in my portable class libraries, class library, I put everything that's view models, that's services that I use. And then in each specific application, for instance, the Windows 8 application, I put the views specifically for this device. Yeah? Why? Because I still want to have this native look and feel. So that's why the views are still specific for each application. Also, startup code is specific for each device, since I need to add additional plugins or specific plugins for each device, which I'll show you later. So each of these other application-specific libraries, you can give them a reference to the portable class library. Just to show you, for people who have never seen portable class libraries before, let me take my Visual Studio. There you go. What you do for creating a portable class library, you take a new project, you go to the Windows tab, and you choose portable class library. That's it. Yeah? Now, once you've done that, you actually get the choice of the frameworks you want to target. In this case, it says .NET 4.5, Silverlight 4, Windows Phone 7, and .NET for Windows Store Apps. But again, since I installed Xamarin, you have Mono for Android option as well. So I'll check that one. And then it will start nagging me about some incompatibility. Yeah? Why is that? Because Mono for Android only works for Windows Phone 7.5 and higher. So you just check 7.5 and higher, press OK, starts making your class library. And once that's done, you get a nasty pop-up, which is just my Visual Studio complaining. That's not normal behavior. That's just a package I installed that's nagging me. Okay, once you've created this, and suppose you're working with it, and after a while you're like, okay, I didn't add enough frameworks at the beginning, or I want to remove some of those frameworks I checked at the beginning, you can still, if you go to Properties, you can still, in this first library tab, change the frameworks you chose at the beginning for targeting. Yeah, that's just a little trick. That's the library or the class library you just need to make if you want to target multiple devices. Okay, close this one. There we go. So, portable class libraries, anyone can do that. But as I said, we still need something else. We need a framework so we're able to target those other devices as well. To be able to target Android, to be able to target iOS. Yeah? For that, I used Xamarin. Anyone heard about Xamarin before? Yeah? Anyone tried Xamarin before? Okay, that's a lot of hands that went down. Yeah? But I'd say try it out. Yeah? It's a really cool framework. Well, again, a lot of people heard about it, what it does. I'll show you today what you can do with it and the cool stuff that are in the Xamarin framework. They actually did a new release 2 weeks back, Xamarin 2.0, which adds a whole lot of extra coolness to it. So now, first of all, Xamarin, it's built on top of Mono. Yeah? Mono is developed by Miguel de Icaza, and what they actually did was port the .NET framework so it can run on multiple devices, for instance, on Linux. Yeah? That was their initial setup. They wanted to have .NET applications run on Linux. And then Xamarin started building on top of that, so they actually could target Android and iOS devices. So what you actually get when once you installed Xamarin is a way of being able to write this one tier that's on each of the devices. Yeah? It gives you the service consumption. It gives you an ability to access local data and services and to write shared business logic and shared UI logic. Yeah? So that's where you can find, or that's what kind of code you can write with Xamarin. Now, what does it add to your Visual Studio? First of all, you get code completion for native APIs. So you can write Android applications in it, but Android has APIs for doing stuff with your address book, for doing stuff with geolocation, for all kinds of stuff. And what Xamarin actually gives you is code completion to that, so you don't need to go on the web and see, well, which library do I need to use? It works natively from within Visual Studio. So it has also Visual Studio integration, and with the 2.0 release of 2 weeks back, they actually added support for you to develop for iOS from within your Visual Studio. That's something that you couldn't do before that. But you actually even get an iPhone emulator. The only thing you still need is a Mac machine somewhere in your network. Why is that? Because you can develop in your Visual Studio, and at a certain moment you want to build your code. And what it actually does is it sends the code over to a Mac. The Mac compiles it and then sends it back for Visual Studio for you to run it in the iPhone emulator. Yeah. Now, I haven't tried that one out yet, but to me it looks very, very cool that you can do that. Yeah. What you also can do, and that was in the previous release as well, which you could also already do, is just develop for Android devices from within Visual Studio. So that's no problem. But if you don't want to use Visual Studio, they also have their own IDE called Xamarin Studio, which you can also use to develop for Android and for iPhone devices. It's actually an entire rewrite of the MonoDevelop environment, or IDE. Yeah. Another thing is that they have advanced debugging support. If you want to debug your application in the emulator, that's not a problem. But if you want to debug on the actual device, you can do that as well. So it's even possible to do it over Wi-Fi if you want to debug on the device. And another thing is, especially for people who are new to Android development or iPhone development, for instance, they have a point-and-click UI designer. So you can just drag and drop controls onto a canvas and then just see the result immediately, which I'll show you in the demo. Another thing, they have wrappers for all of the Android and iPhone APIs. And the good thing about Xamarin is that when iOS, for instance, comes up with a new version, they are very quick in adapting to their new framework each time. So that's actually pretty cool. You can start developing for the new versions of the frameworks very fast with Xamarin. So for instance, if you want to use Bluetooth, if you want to use the address book, just use the wrapper that Xamarin offers you, and you can just use it. And another cool thing is that once you compile with Xamarin, it actually gives you native packages. So for iOS, for instance, they have an ahead-of-time compiler which compiles your code to an ARM binary. So it runs natively on the iOS device. For Android, it's a compile and link step, which gives you intermediate language. And once your application starts up, that's JIT compiled to native code for Android. The linking step, by the way, the thing is that once you use Xamarin, they actually have a lot of DLLs and a lot of namespaces that you can use in your applications, but probably you won't be using all of those. And what they actually do with the linking step is take out the libraries you don't use. So your package size that gets deployed on the device is a lot smaller. So it's actually optimized for your application. But enough with the talk. Let's just show you how you can do that. So let's take the other Visual Studio. And what I'll be doing is do a new project. And in this case, take Android. And I'll just make a regular Android application. You see, you have options as well to target a specific API version, like for instance Honeycomb or Ice Cream Sandwich. If you want that, just put the minimal API version tag in your manifest file. That's it. So let's create that one. Left-handed even, so there you go. Okay, again, the nasty pop-up. Close this one. Okay, what you get is, first of all, Android, everything it does, everything in Android that is a screen is actually an activity. So what you see here is my first page of my Android application, of an Android application, which is an activity. Yeah? And for the Xamarin build process to pick this class up and register it in your Android manifest, you also need to assign the activity attribute to this. That's just so it's in the manifest, and once it's in the manifest, the Android's device can actually find your application as well, your page as well. But you don't need to go and edit the manifest yourself. That's something Xamarin does for you. Now, you see an override here of the onCreate. In the onCreate, we just create the page. But what we also do here is have a call to setContentView. Now, this call to setContentView is actually this activity class. There's also a kind of view page assigned to it or associated with it. And that's this resource.layout.main you see here. This page, if you go look for it, it's actually in the resources directory under layout. So you see resources.layout.main. So that's this file. There we go. And that's just an XML file that defines what my page looks like. Yeah. In this file, first of all, on top you see the linear layout. A linear layout, you can, if you're doing XAML development, it's the same thing as a stack panel. It has two orientations, horizontal or vertical. And in my vertical layout, there's just one control, which is a button. This button is given an ID. It's set to for the width to take the entire screen width and to wrap its content for its height. And it has a text which is somewhere in a resource string. Yeah? Now, something that Xamarin does as well is once you define pages like this, the AXML pages, and in those pages you put IDs, it actually gives you a designer file, an auto-generated designer file, which actually, and I'll go look for the button, which actually has classes and everything for everything you put on your page or everything you give an ID on your page. You also see that the main page itself is defined in here as well. So every time you compile, it adds to this resource.designer file, and that's why in my code of my activity I can actually get my button. There you go. So by resource.id, my button, I can get at my button, and actually this button control, I can, if I want to, react to the click event of the button. Yeah. Now the cool thing is, reacting to this click event is nothing more than assigning a delegate to that one, which is the .NET way of reacting to events. If I want to do this, the Android way of doing this is actually doing it with an event listener, and it's like two or three lines of code. In this case, it's just a lambda expression I need to put there. Yeah? Now, once you have this, I can actually run this. And let me see. I want to run it on this emulator. Now, first of all, it's the 554. There we go. I actually have two emulators, one for API 10 and one for API 4, I guess, the other one. The second one I use for the Tech Days application, and it has the Google services with it, which is the maps and all those things. Now, the emulators for Android, they are quite slow as well, but there is an x86 version of these emulators that you can find, which you can install and which you can use, which is actually faster and which uses hardware acceleration. But the downside of it is that since it uses hardware acceleration, and my Windows Phone emulator does that as well, but Windows Phone uses Hyper-V and Android uses what's it? Yeah, another one, the Intel one. Yeah, and they can't coexist on the same machine. So that's why Android is still slow on my machine. But actually, we have our button, and of course, we can click it, and we see the text updating in this button. Yeah, that's a very easy and very quick way of showing you a first Android application. Now, just going to show you one more thing which you can do in here. Being that the AXML file, the design file for my Android page, what I can do is I can open it in the Android Designer. Now, it's normally it takes some time to load, so let's hope it comes through. Okay. I'll already show you, am I still running this? Yeah, I'm still running this, so I'll stop this. So I see my toolbox. So you see I have a toolbox with all sorts of controls I can use. And what I can actually do is just take a control from here, and the blue line actually shows me where this control will end up on the page. So I can add a radio button. That's easy. What I can also do on top, you see there's this... make it a bit bigger. You see, I can actually choose to use the view of another sort of device. Yeah? In Android land, yeah, there's a lot of different devices, a lot of different screen resolutions out there. And what you can actually do is in your designer say, well, I want to design for this resolution or for that resolution or for this typical device. What I actually advise you to do if you develop for Android is just pick one or two devices with a widely used screen resolution and just target those in your development. So you have you can target as much people as possible without going through all the trouble of adjusting your pages for each device. Now what I can also do here, right now my view is in portrait, but what I can do is change this to landscape, so I have a wider device. But you see these locks on top of here. I can actually lock this, and all changes I now do to this page will be done to the landscape mode of my page only. Now, just watch once I save. You have on the right here my resources and my layout folder. You will see another folder appear up there. So for instance, if I add a spinner control, there we go, and once I save this, you will see I also have a layout land folder up here now as well. That's just the way Android goes about saving stuff for different screen sizes. Yeah? And just to show you that those pages are actually different, I have the first main.xml file with just the button and the radio button, and the landscape has the extra spinner control. Yeah, so that's actually an easy way of developing for different screen sizes. Okay, so that's Xamarin on Android. For people, if you want to get started with that, only thing you need is your Windows PC or a Mac, or both. If you want to get your apps in the Google Store or on the iOS Store, you need the Google account and the iOS account for that. And for Xamarin itself, they have licenses going up from free to $999, which is actually the one that gives you all the features, Visual Studio integration and everything. The license I am running right now is the free license with a 30-day evaluation period. So that's why I can use all of the Visual Studio integration features as well. But still with the free license, you can get a lot done. I thought you also get Xamarin Studio with the free one already, since it's a free tool. So, Xamarin, we can already target multiple devices, but if I use only Xamarin, I will still need to write a lot of code. I will still need to write duplicate things. Yeah? Now, I want to avoid that, and how can I do that? Well, by actually using the MVVM pattern. And I was thinking for this talk, well, I'm going to use MVVM. And I actually stumbled upon a framework called MVVM Cross, which is already built on top of Xamarin and which already gives me the MVVM pattern for targeting multiple devices. So that's actually pretty cool. Now, first of all, I'll just give you a short overview of MVVM. Who of you use MVVM right now in their applications? That's a lot of people. Yeah, not everybody yet. So for those who are not using it, I'm going to try and convince you for now, for all of your XAML applications, use MVVM. Yeah? Why? Because it gives you a great way of decoupling your UI, what's visual in your application, from the logic of the application, or the logic, the things that need to be done with that UI. Yeah? So on the one hand, you have your view, which is just controls, just text boxes, buttons, stuff like that. And your view actually gets data from what we call a view model. The view model, it has properties that the view can bind to, and it also has commands the view can bind to. And those commands are used for reacting to the events that happen on your view. For instance, someone presses a button, then you data bind to a command in your view model. And for this to work, what MVVM uses is something called a data binder. For Windows Phone and Windows 8 applications, you already have data binders in your .NET framework, so you can just use those. For Android and iOS, they don't come out of the box, of course, but MVVM Cross actually gives you data binders for Windows, for Android and for iOS views, which is totally cool. So you can use data binding in your Android views if you want to. Now, another part of the MVVM pattern is, well, your model. What's your model that's both data classes but also services and stuff, everything your view model uses to get its data from. Now, what's the cool thing about using the MVVM pattern? First of all, you get a clearer separation of concerns, because your UI, what you try to do is in your view not to put anything code-wise anymore, unless it has something to do with the view itself, with animations or something. But apart from that, don't put any code in your code behind. Stop doing that. Yeah. Second, you get more structured code, cleaner code. Yeah. You do get, especially for smaller applications, you might get the impression that you get more code, but it will be more structured code. So that's a good thing. Your code also, it becomes testable. Everything that's in your view model, everything that's in your services that your view model uses, all of that you can test. You can write unit tests for that, which is which is a pro. I really like writing tests. So also, you can use data binding, which comes out of the box with Windows Phone and Windows 8. Big pro for me was the fact that I can reuse code. In my case, my backend, it has the view models, it has all of the services, and all of that is reused across Windows Phone, across Windows 8, across Android. Big plus. And also, your view code, it becomes designable. So you can actually give that to someone who knows how to use Blend, which I don't, and he can actually go ahead and make it a funky design if he wants to. Now, what does MVVM Cross add to the MVVM pattern? First of all, it's also based on Mono and Xamarin, but it's also an idea that Stuart Lodge, the person who wrote MVVM Cross, an idea he got from another framework called MonoCross, which is also built on top of Xamarin, but it uses the MVC pattern. So if there's people who like MVC more than MVVM, maybe MonoCross is an option for you. I like MVVM a lot, and it just works very, very good when you're doing XAML applications. So that's why I chose MVVM Cross. Now, what MVVM Cross actually adds to what you can normally do with MVVM is, first of all, it makes it possible to not only data bind to a Windows Phone and Windows 8 view, but you can also data bind to iOS and to Android views, which is pretty cool. You actually use more or less the same way of data binding. They do it by using JSON expressions, but you'll see in the demo how exactly this can be done. Another thing when using MVVM, you probably will have different view models, and you will need a way of navigating from one view model to another view model. That's actually when you're writing your own MVVM framework from scratch, if you're not using a specialized framework, that's something you need to think about and need to know, how can I do this? Yeah. Now, a lot of MVVM frameworks, like, for instance, MVVM Lite or Caliburn.micro, they actually add a way of navigating between your view models and that you actually get the right page at the right moment on your screen. Now, MVVM Cross does the same thing, so it has this request navigate call that you can use to navigate between view models. And the cool thing, of course, again, is it works on Windows Phone, Windows 8, but also on Android and iOS. And last, but certainly not least, for MVVM Cross, there's actually, well, one of the harder things is, well, not really hard, but you have these multiple devices, and they all have their own way of doing things. For instance, they will all have a geolocation service, but if you use geolocation for Windows Phone, it will have a different API than geolocation for Android. Yeah? And you want to do something about that. Yeah. Now, actually, yesterday I was at the Jeff Prosser's talk of HTML5. Anyone saw that one? Yeah. I really liked this. It was a cool talk. Yeah. But he also showed something about sharing code across Windows Phone and Windows 8. It was a small bit. And he used preprocessor directives. So he used he used linked files between the two projects, and then he added preprocessor directives to actually say, well, for Windows Phone, you need to do it this way, and for Windows 8, you need to do it that way. Yeah. Now, that's cool, you can do that, but there's actually a somewhat cleaner way of dealing with the problem. Well, I have the APIs, but they look different. Yeah. And it's something you all know. You're all computer scientists, or you do something in computers with computers. But the principle is that, first of all, what you do and what MVVM Cross does is it defines for you an interface. An interface that gives you, the things you want as services for a certain API. So it defines this interface. For instance, the color interface, the IMVX native color interface. Now, what it then does is for each and every device, for each specific device, it defines an implementation of this interface. And in this, you will have the device-specific way of doing things with colors. But in your own application, in your own cross-platform portable class library, what you will do is all code you write will be targeting the IMVX native color interface. Yeah, you won't be using the device-specific ones. But each specific device, or your specific app for each device, what it will then do at runtime, it will just say, well, for me, use this version, for me, use this version, for me, use this version. So it's a kind of plug-in way of using, of utilizing device-specific services. Yeah. Also, one last thing, which I'm actually totally proud of. Stuart Lodge, the guy writing MVVM Cross, he also hands out batches of awesomeness. Yeah. And about a week and a half ago, he actually gave me one. And I think that's totally cool. I'll actually show you, I pointed him into a certain direction of what you can do for data binding with Windows 8. And I'll show you in the demo what it is. Okay. So first, let's just see how this is done. Let's see how you can make a backend while using MVVM Cross. So what I have is not this application. You save that if you want to. But it's actually the TechDays application. Okay. What you see in the TechDays application, so this is an entire rewrite of the official application. First of all, you have the core project, which has all of the shared code. And then per device, there's again a project for Android, WinRT, and Windows Phone. And there's also a test application for this, which I'll show you later. In the core project, first of all, you have the view models. Now, view models, I'll start with the home view model. That's just, well, a view model like you know it. It's just a class. But the thing you need to know that is this class, in this case it inherits from base view model, but base view model, this one inherits from MVX view model. So everything you do with MVVM cross, if you're making view models, you need to say, hey, this is a view model. So you actually make it inherit from MVX view model so the framework can pick it up. Yeah? That's one thing you need to know. Another thing is, each of these view models each of these properties, it's just properties that's in there. My view can later bind to this. What I'll do is I'll take a look at the topic list view model. There we go. Again, topic list view model inherits from base view model, and you see some typical MVVM things pop up. Like for instance, I'm using an observable collection for my views again to bind to. An observable collection of topic list item, that's a class down here. And this one, again, it has the usual just as properties, but the framework also gives you a wrapper about iNotify property changed, which is race property changed, which is just, a method in the base class. But the nice thing, some MVVM frameworks add this overload, not only with a string, but also with a lambda, which I totally love. Yeah? Being that I do make typing mistakes a lot, but this prevents me at build time of doing that. Also, you see that I have a command here. Again, a lot of MVVM frameworks give you something similar to a relay command. This one as well, it gives you an MVX relay command. In this case, and that's the thing I said, we need a way of navigating between our view models. It's the request navigate call. You give it the type of the view model, in this case session home view model, and you can also send extra data along. This is in the form of string data. So it's just strings that you send along. Why is that? Actually on navigation it's parsed to JSON, and it's I think it was Android that can't use anything else than just strings for navigation between view models. Another thing, there's also a basic dependency injection framework in MVVM cross. So if you want to keep your view models clean, use extra services, you can do so. The downside is that for using extra services, you don't see any constructor injection here, which is the cleaner way of doing dependency injection. But it's actually used through service location. So I actually ask for the iLoad topics service. Yeah? From this service, I then just get all topics, I shape them into topic list items, and then I give that to my topic query. But this service location, dependency injection-wise, it's not that clean. But if you want to, there's actually someone on Stack Overflow who was able to do dependency injection with the use of MVVM cross while using constructor injection. So it is possible. Yeah? But I just use it straight out of the box with doing an overload or implementing the IMVX service consumer and then just asking for a specific service. Yeah? Now at runtime, what I didn't show you is this one. There we go. Now, what you also have to do if you're using the dependency injection is you actually have to configure this. So you actually have to say, at runtime, if you're using the iLoad topics, you need to take a new topic loader. So you give it a specific class. What you also see here is the plugin framework, being that, for instance, when you want to do things with files, yeah. If you want to access a file on Android, it's different than accessing a file on Windows Phone. So for that, I use the file plugin. Just remember that it's, first of all, configured here. You can just use the file service the same way I did with the topic loader or the iLoad topics from within your view models. Now, last thing I want to show you is just this. If I do an alt run, is that I do have tests on this project. It's not that many tests, but they're all green, and you can actually put this entire application under test if you want to. Yeah, there's also ways of I'm not going to show you that, but you can actually inject the services while you're testing. So none of my tests use, for instance, Twitter. They don't use the topic loader. They use a dummy topic loader, something else, or a mock object. It's actually mock U I use for that one. So it's under test as well. There you go. Okay, so what did we see? Yeah, first of all, you can use view models. Yeah, it's just typical view models. It's just classes. We can do dependency injection on those. We can use services and plugins. We can do navigation between our view models, and we can totally unit test all of this. So what did we actually see? We saw how we can do this backend. Yeah, what we can do with all the view models and the models and stuff like that. What we didn't see though is how you can do the actual views. Yeah. So let's just show you. Yeah. First of all, view for Windows Phone. So let's go back to this demo. There we go. So we have the Windows Phone application. I'll take the home view. There you go. Now this view might be a lot of XAML to look at, but actually it's the I can show you on the emulator. Reps. There you go. It's actually what you the XAML you see here is for this first panorama control with all the panorama items in it. Yeah, and the view model you just saw is actually for this topic list with all the different topics in it, where you have the name of the topic and the count of the topic. Now, XAML-wise, what does that look like? XAML-wise, I actually have the panorama control. And in this panorama control, I have a first panorama item for the overview, and a second panorama item, which is data-bound to topics. Yeah? Now, in this panorama item is another list box, again, data-bound to topics. You'll say, why are you data binding to topics twice? Well, actually, that's because I used, stupid naming, but anyway. In my home view model, I have a property topics, and on my topic list view model, I again named this one topics. So that's why it seems to be data bound to topics twice. Now, in this list box, you will see I have two text blocks, data bound to name and count. So that's just regular data binding for you. What you need to add, and that's something that's typical for everything you do with MVVM, it's not only with MVVM cross, but you actually have an interaction trigger here. Yeah. What's an interaction trigger? Well, I want to react to the tap event on my grid control here. Yeah. Now, a tap is an event, and it's not a command. While in your view model, you do everything with commands. You have the I command you want to bind to. Yeah. What you need, and like I said, it's typical for all MVVM frameworks. MVVM Lite will have something similar. Caliburn.micro will have something similar. You will have to translate this event to a command. Yeah. Now, in MVVM Cross, you actually have a specific control for that, the MVX event to command, that you can use to actually bind to a command from your view model. Yeah. Now, the interaction.triggers, that's something specific in Windows Phone. You can find that one in it's up here, the Windows.interactivity namespace. And that's actually the thing that got me the MVVM cross badge, because on Windows 8, you do not have that namespace. Because on Windows 8, you don't have behaviors, and on Windows Phone, you do have behaviors. Now, the thing is that for Windows 8, if you still want to use the MVX event to command, what you can actually do, there's an extra NuGet package you can download to still use this syntax and actually use a statement that is very similar to this one. Yeah? So your code will look more or less the same there as well. Okay. I still want to show you something else, being that there's also a setup file here. I told you about the specific plugins for each platform. What I still need to do, if you want to use stuff like, in this case, I'm using a resource loader to get at resources, and I also use a file plugin. So you need to tell MVVM Cross to load the specific plugin for doing stuff with files for my Windows Phone application. So that's something that's in the setup file. And then what you'll see is in Control Shift, there you go. What you'll see in the references of my project is that I also have the specific plugin for files within my references. I have added that one. There you go. Hold up. And that's all. Yeah. That's just regular data binding for you. Yeah. You already know that. You already know how to do that. And that's something I didn't show you. I actually forgot to show you. What you also need to do, and that's an additional step you need to do, is you need to tell your view, which is your XAML page, you need to tell that one which view model it needs to use. Yeah. Now, for that, it's you actually take the code behind of your XAML file, and what you do is you make it inherit from an MVX phone page for the specific view model, and that's all. You don't need to do anything extra to be able to use MVVM Cross from within a Windows Phone application. Yeah. And then another extra step, and that's something you saw me do in the demo, is you need to configure the platform-specific services. And that's all. Yeah. For me, while writing this application, I started with the with writing the view models, and I didn't actually use the extra the services. I did everything with dummy topics and dummy sessions and dummy this and dummy that. And then on top of that, I started just making the Android views, because for Android, I just wanted to know, is it working? And then later on, I added the Windows Phone views, I added the Windows 8 views, and it was just a natural process. It was very, very easy to add the Windows Phone-specific stuff. Yeah. Okay, but I guess you still want to know how you do this in Android as well. Yeah. So let's just look at how you can do the views for Android. Yeah. I'll close all of this. I don't know if I changed anything here, but whatever. Okay, now, first of all, you already saw in the second demo that for Android, you have this resources directory, and in this resources directory, you have a layout directory. Yeah? Now, this layout directory, it's pretty cramped. There's a lot of stuff in there. Why is that? Because Android allows you only, well, it doesn't allow you to make extra subdirectories in this one. So it looks a bit, well, crowded. Yeah. What I did try to do is use a silly naming convention to still be able to find my files in here, because there's quite a lot of files in here. Now, let me take the home top page topic list, which is actually the same list of topics you saw on Windows Phone. Yeah. Now, for this topic list, what you see me doing here is using a linear layout again, so the stack panel. And in this linear layout, I'm using an MVX bindable list view. What's an MVX bindable list view? Well, that's an Android list view you can data bind. Yeah. And how do you data bind? Well, I'm using the MVX bind attribute, and I'm data binding it, its item source of the MVX bindable list view, to the topics property of my view model. Yeah. And this is just JSON. That's just a JSON string you give to the MVX bind command. Also, for each and every topic I show, I want to use a certain item template. So the same thing you do in Windows Phone with you doing item templates and data templates, you have something similar here. It's the home list item topic. And the home list item topic is this one. That one is just a linear layout again with a text view. And this one is data bound. It's the text property is data bound to the name property, but it also has a command binding for the click event to the show sessions for topic command. So it's very, if you know XAML, if you know data binding, it's a very natural way of going to this kind of data binding. Yeah. Ah, yeah. So the question was it intentional that I didn't put the count on there? No, not really. I was just a bit lazy and didn't put it there. So wasn't really intentional, but there are some differences in the different views. Some pages are a bit more extended and have more information than others. So, but I didn't really think about it. Pure laziness. So, okay. So that for the data binding here, as I said, very natural way of doing data binding. But I'll also show you another one, being the sessions item session page. Which one is this? This is actually the page, the detail of one session, where you have the text of the session, the room information and stuff like that. But what I actually want to show you is that on this one, I have a text view for the title of the session. Again, a data binding, but this data binding, it's data binding its text property to short title in my view model. It also has this click command data binding to go to the session detail. But what you didn't see was that I also didn't see yet is that in this case I also data bind the text color to the in agenda property, which is just a property indicating yeah it's in your agenda, yes or no. But you can also use value converters if you want to. So that's the thing you saw once I add something to my agenda. You see the text become orange. That's actually because of this value converter. Now, how can you do that one? There's actually just a converter up here, bool to color converter. And this bool to color converter, it's very similar to a color converter or a value converter for Windows Phone and Windows 8. In this case, it's an NVX base value converter. It has a convert property that you can override and just say, well, what you need to do to go from a Boolean to a color. Yeah? And that's it. Yeah. There we go. Another thing, and I'll show you this for the Android application. Yeah? Since I didn't show it for the Windows Phone application, but I'll show it here. What I told you I skipped was how to bind the view to your actual view model. How do these two know each other? Yeah? The way of doing this in Android and Windows Phone is very similar. Being that I also have this views folder here. This one does have nice subfolders. And over here, I have the topic list view class. And this topic list view class, what I actually do in the topic list view class is I make it inherit from one of the MVVM cross activity base classes. So MVX binding activity view for a specific view model. And that's it. Again, you see me do the set content view to the AXML page. But that's a very easy way of letting your view models and your views know each other. Actually, the way of doing this for Windows 8 is different. There it's done via a property you need to override with a new keyword even. So it's a bit different there. But Android and Windows Phone are very similar for that. Okay. And that's it. Yeah. I thought that was pretty easy. Yeah. What do you need to do to get MVVM Cross working for an Android app? First of all, you need to know that you need to make your UI with AXML files, which is just XML. You do have a bit of a learning curve of knowing what are all the Android controls, what do they look like. A linear layout behaves a bit different than a stack panel from time to time, that it doesn't put your controls where you want it to, but that's just playing around a bit. The data binding, you do that with JSON expressions. You have the navigation. The thing I did in the view model with request navigate, what MVVM Cross is doing for you is mapping that to intents, which is the Android way of navigating between pages. It's actually a sort of messaging framework they have there. For view models, you auto-wire them with an MVX binding activity view for your view model. So that was the base class for my activity. And you can also use value converters. Yeah? And I think that's totally cool. Yeah? What I actually was able to do was the official applications, they were each written, the first version, each in 2 weeks' time, more or less. So that's 4 weeks in total. Yeah. I started developing for them, I was 3 days in when they actually started with the official applications, but then Hans, who wrote the official applications, reused all of my XAML. So we actually had, he had a head start that way. So, and the rest of the development, I think I started 4 weeks before Tech Days with developing these three applications. I only did it in weekends. I didn't even do it during the evening because I'm just tired. So I just want to do other stuff and don't be behind my laptop. So it's only weekends spent on this. I got the full Windows Phone application, well, almost full except for the syncing. That's something I didn't do. But I have the full Android application as well. I have a Twitter feed in there. The Windows 8 application, that one isn't entirely finished. I just have the start screen. So no detailed views of sessions and stuff like that. But still, I got two platforms finished, which I think is very, very cool. Yeah? So why, for me, did this become my precious? First of all, I was able to stick to the native UI. Each application looks like it's developed for that specific device. I have native performance, since I have the binary compiled, the binary is compiled. I do have one language to rule them all. I just use C#, nothing else. Some XML for my XAML and my AXML, but that's just XML. And as far as application logic goes, I was able to reuse 95% of my application logic, which I think is very, very, very neat. Yeah? The only thing that was still device-specific were all of those views, which is kind of logical because I wanted native UI. And things like the value converters are still device-specific, but I actually could have done those in the backend as well if I would have wanted to, but I just didn't do it. So about 95% of code reuse. As for testing, my test harness, that's 100% shared test framework. The view models are all shared, and the test harness is shared across all of those. And as for overall dev time, I certainly didn't spend more time on my three applications that the guys did for the separate applications, which just totally rocks. I totally beat the guys. Yeah. Woohoo. And another big pro for me is that if the application needs to change, I can do those changes in one place and one place only, and it just works across all of those different devices. And that's a big, big, big pro. And there were changes during development. That stuff needed to be... Actually, after 3 or 4 days in, they actually changed the entire navigation, the entire way of navigating through the application. I was like, oh my God, I need to change all of this. But it was, I actually had quite a lot of code at that point. Hans was actually quite far as well at that point. And we both did the refactor of the new navigation model. And it was done in somewhere between half a day and a day, for that, a lot of view models needed to change. Properties needed to go to different view models. So the changes that can be done in one place. Why did I put most of the time? By the way, if a view model gets an extra property, of course, gets an extra property, you do need to make that change in the views probably as well. Yeah, but that's kind of obvious. For all of those reasons, I do think that I have found my magic ring. Yeah? I really, really liked using those two frameworks, Xamarin and MVVM Cross, and they actually worked very smoothly for me. I had actually expected more bumps along the way, but there were some little bumps, some stuff I needed to look up. But I have... Xamarin has very good documentation. You can find all of the things on their website. MVVM Cross, on the other hand, it's still a work in progress. It's an open source project. But still, the important things you need to know, you can find them. And if there's something that's not out there, you just post a question on Stack Overflow, and Stuart, who designed MVVM Cross, he's very quick in answering. And if he answers, it's like a two-pager. So... it's a very extensive answer that you get. So the things that I used for this, first of all, were those portable class libraries, which you just need for your backend. I used Xamarin for doing the different devices, and MVVM Cross to get to my magic ring. Yeah. To end this session, I just want to give you some extra related sessions that maybe you could attend. Some of them have already been yesterday, but still you can re-catch them on video if you want to. But there was a session about Laurent Bugnot about Windows 8 and Windows Phone best practices. The MVVM talk about Gilles Clairen is still this afternoon. So for people who haven't used too much of MVVM, who want to know more about the pattern, go and see Gilles. And then there was yesterday this live coding session about C# and JavaScript on Windows 8. There's actually, if you want to do cross-platform development, and for instance, you do have an HTML5 application, and you just want to get it on the Windows 8 device, then JavaScript is a very good choice. Yeah, it's actually very easy to do. There was a demo, I think it was in the keynote as well, about doing that, and also for Windows Phone, which is something they added recently. As for resources, if you want to know where to find everything, the slides will be online as well. So the Tech Days people or the Microsoft people will make sure you get the slides. But MVVM Cross, it's up on GitHub. And I also put Stuart's blog on there, Xamarin. It's xamarin.com. And what I didn't mention, but which is also very cool, is that on top of Xamarin and on top of Mono, you also have MonoGame for doing cross-platform game development. So for people looking for that, go check out MonoGame. It's actually a port of XNA. It runs on top of OpenGL for Android devices, and it's actually very, very cool. So for people who thought that XNA is dead, it's not. It's still in MonoGame. And if you want to get the bits about the Tech Days application itself, it's on my own GitHub account, so you can actually look at all the code that I wrote and see how clean it got with all of the MVVM in it. So as for that, I don't know if you have time for questions. I'm looking at the pretty lady there. I actually have 2 minutes for questions. I don't know if there's one question that I can take. There you go. Can you have the previous slide again? But the slides, they will be. Oops, no, it's that one. The slides, they will be passed around. So, anyone another relevant question? Sorry, relevant question. One more question? No, it was very clear. Ah, there you go. Ah, yeah. That's actually a very good question. So the question was for the Android application. It's actually built in. It gives you intermediate language, which is then JIT compiled on startup. Doesn't that give you a performance loss? Actually no. They actually did performance tests when running Xamarin applications next to Android application, well, the same application written twice, yeah. And the thing is that typical Android applications, they run in the Dalvik virtual machine, yeah, which is also not that fast. And while the Xamarin applications, they run on top of a mono runtime within Android, and that's actually a very quite a performant way of doing that. So it's. Plus, the JIT compiler knows what it's doing, so that's a very good question. Thanks. So that ends my session. I just want to thank you all and thank Microsoft for having me. Hope you find it interesting, and see you around. Thanks.